Is the simplicity the simple lot in a complicated, busy, crazy world? And in contrast, the simple life is in contrast to what most of our nature for us and what we do. It's just been some amazing conversations over the last multiple weeks, just talking about so many people understanding how much of a battle it is to press back into the simple things.
Yeah.
The simplicity of the simple life. Now, this morning, what Chris and I are going to ask you to consider is just the power of presence.
Yeah.
The power of being present.
What we're just talking about is just being a real and genuine family. That's all. So it's the simplicity of the simple life. It really is this invitation to get back to the simple things.
Absolutely.
To actually cut the junk, be able to be there for somebody, and allow them to be there for you.
Absolutely. And so for both of us, we are the two main teaching pastors here. Doesn't mean that other people have opportunities. But what we want to challenge you with this morning is there has been a paradigm that has been created in most church families, and we want to be very straightforward with you. We're going to press back against some of that false idealism that a lot of you are living with that hinders you from being the minister of the gospel that God has called you to be.
And let's even substitute minister. Let's just go back to apprentice.
Absolutely.
Just a follower of Jesus.
Just being,
that word minister almost carries with it what we're trying to undo. Is that
this isn't
an invitation to us. This is an invitation for us to be able to experience what God has done in all of us.
Absolutely.
To be a follower of Christ is to walk in these ways.
To just be an apprentice. To learn his ways. So let's jump into Romans chapter 12. We're going to reread these verses this morning. And we're really going to focus on this short verse, set of verses, verse 15. Romans chapter 12, 9 through 15. It says, love, let love be without hypocrisy. Let love be sincere. Let's learn to abhor what is evil, and let's cling to what is good. Let us be kindly affectionate to one another with brotherly love, in honor, giving preference to one another, not lagging in diligence, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord, rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing steadfastly in prayer, distributing to the needs of the saints, given to hospitality. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse. Rejoice with those who rejoice and weep with those who weep. Now, Adam and Jessica are standing up here this morning, and we have asked them to share because I feel like that some of what the Holy Spirit has been doing in their lives is a great example of transition into a new level of obedience and faith. All the things that we've been talking about, these simple things that we've been talking about in Romans chapter 12, we have asked them to be able to share with you publicly so that you can relate, so that you can feel that, so that you can connect with their story. Because when you hear, I think you'll understand, because we all struggle with these things. Adam, share with us about what God's been doing for you guys.
All right. Good morning. Good morning. Adam Shepherd.
I'm Tim Duggins.
How you doing? Nice to meet you.
Good to have you here.
My wife, Jessica.
Hey, I'm Chris.
Hey, Chris. Most of you probably know about Erica Collier, who was killed in an automotive accident, and she left three young girls and her fiance, James Weekly, behind, and they happened to be our neighbors in Brightwood, right across 29, and we were living there when they moved in, and, you know, we've seen them out, and we just never connected, never went over to see them or anything. And when this happened, it really hit me hard, you know, that I felt guilty, for one thing, for not ever, you know, introducing myself and, you know, welcoming them, but just the burden that he had on him with those girls and no fiance to help him. And for like a week, I just couldn't shake it. God was telling me, you've got to go see him. And I was like, I don't know what I'm going to do. You know, I can't fix this. I can't. What am I going to do? So I talked to Jessica about it, and she's like, I don't know. What would we say? And I was like, I don't know. So anyway, we dropped our kids off at Thoroughfare for kids thing one night, our younger two, and I was driving home and she was doing something and I turned in the driveway. I said, well, we're here. I said, we're going to say something. And she's like, what? I don't know what to say. Anyway, we go knock on the door, never talk to them at all. I'm sure they've seen us, but we knocked on the door and I, you know, introduced myself and told them we live across the road and gave them my condolences. And I said, I just want to tell you, I'm a bad neighbor. You know, I want to apologize that, you know, I haven't been over here before now. And he looked at us and he was like, no, I'm sorry. He said, I didn't come see y'all either. And I was like, you know, kind of blown away by that. And he said, you know, we were on his carport and he said, come inside, come in. So we were there like 2 hours and he opened up and talked to me and, you know, he was upset and he was telling me that the time we were there was usually the time he got home. His fiance would get home and it was hard and we went through a lot of things, but you know, God gave me what I needed to say. Once I was there and in the moment, it was just fascinating. And Jessica has a little bit different experience.
So he shared with me, you know, that he was laid on his heart, that he wanted to, you know, go over there and talk to him and give his condolences and all. But I was also dealing with my own convictions. What can I do to try to bring any comfort to this family, these kids, these girls who don't understand what's happened? And, you know, the youngest is 20 months old and she doesn't know where her mom's went and they just don't understand. And so I was like, what can I do to bring them comfort? And so, you know, I go in and they have a conversation and the kids are just like pulling me away. Like, let's go play. And that's all they need. They just need somebody to be there and to love on them and to show them that you're going to be in their corner when they need it most.
Yeah.
So it was just really moving to see how if you just allow God to work.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
And put yourself aside. And it doesn't matter if we look silly or goofy or what they're going to think about us. We have to put ourselves out there. And so it was just a really good testament of what God can do if we just give him the chance to work through us. So it was just amazing. It's incredible. And I pray for them. I think about them, but I want to be able to keep that connection open. And we may have to go and just cold, you know, knock on their door again and say, hey, we're here, because it's unlikely that they're going to try to reach back out to us. We have to try to keep doing that for them.
Absolutely.
Because they're in need and they're not just going to say, yeah, I need all this stuff. We're going to have to try to fill in the gap.
Yeah.
You know, so that's my experience.
And we exchanged phone numbers and I told him, I was like, we're across the street. If you need me, call me. I'm not blowing smoke. I mean it. And I teach my kids, I said, your word is all you got.
Mm-hmm.
I said, you need me, you call me. I'll do what I got to do to help you. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, that's just all it is. It was us being there. It wasn't about what I had to say. It wasn't about what, you know, I didn't run all these verses by him. I asked him about church. I asked him to come to church. But, it worked out well.
So here's the thing. As they're sharing, there's some of you that know that situation better. I mean, Caitlin Razor, that's her cousin. So there's some of you that you're connected, so you can understand that they've lived across the road from one another. They've never introduced themselves. They've never been the neighbor that they felt like they needed to be. So you can see that there's this whole litany, this list of reasons why they shouldn't go. And what I think is so important that we grabbed this morning from what they're saying is that they just showed up.
Yeah.
They just were present. And they didn't have these notes and they didn't have this list of things that they were, you know, they didn't have this prepared speech. They were terrified, but yet they were following their hearts and they showed up and they were present, and then the Holy Spirit filled in the rest.
Right.
And what I'm so excited about is they represent so many people within this church family that are just learning the power of presence. Thank you guys for sharing. That is so awesome.
Thank you.
Good job. Good job. Thank you. So this morning, following up on what they're sharing, Let's just use the Merriam-Webster dictionary definition number one of what presence is. The fact or the condition of being present. Somebody's present with those kids. That's hallelujah. Right. Hallelujah. I love that sound. You know what it would sound like if I was up there with them? It would be way worse.
Oh.
Presence. The fact or condition of being present. Let me just say this, and this is what we're trying to encourage some of you. Less talk.
Yeah.
Less talk. It's not about talk. We made it. Can we just be really raw this morning? It almost feels like, and some of you have expressed this, whether you understand what you're saying or not, it's almost like we've made Christianity, it seems like Christianity has become information.
Yeah.
In other words, theology and doctrine. And words, speaking, proclaiming, oratory. I'm going to go out on a limb because I'm just going to lay some things out there because some of you need to hear this morning. Chris and I talk about this on a regular basis. When we met Chris, when Chris was in middle school, it was the first time that I met him, okay? And we've stood and we've got to know each other through the years. But one of the things that we talk about, and this is one of the things that we're trying to press back, and we're trying to help some of you embrace a new perspective of the Scripture and how the Holy Spirit wants to work through you. I'm just telling you right now, what we don't need in our nation is more professional speakers with double PhDs, with double theology degrees, with all of this incredible information and backgrounds, because what the church is dying for in America is we don't have shepherds. We don't have herdsmen that are looking out for the flock. And some of you, you are not empowered to be the hands and feet of Jesus because you think that you have to have all this word stuff figured out. You have to be a wordsmith and you have to know all this theology and all of this doctrine.
Yeah, before you can go see your neighbor.
Before you can go see a neighbor.
Before you could show up to your own parents who are in the hospital.
And I'm not, you understand, we're not downing education. We're not downing, there are so many brilliant men, there's so many brilliant women that we learn from, but I'm saying the Church of Jesus Christ, the functional church, doesn't need one more overly educated person who doesn't know how to manage, doesn't know how to lead, and doesn't know how to love. Because you just become information. Now, if some of you right now, just give us a chance and work through what we're trying to say. I'm so thankful for amazing people. But let's just focus on this. These two emotions this morning, these are powerful emotions that are being shared and words are not necessary. Chris is experiencing the emotion of rejoicing.
Mm-hmm.
What's in my word bag to associate words with his rejoicing? I don't need a word bag. Drop it on the floor. He's rejoicing? Yes. I'm rejoicing. Yes. Is that all you got?
That's all I got.
Okay.
Yeah. I'm still...
Kathy Mills was in the other service.
Somebody else.
If you know Kathy Mills and you've been around Kathy Mills, she's my sister. I love her. This is Kathy Mills rejoicing.
Yes.
And then when Kathy Mills is rejoicing, you don't have to have words. You just stand next to Kathy when she's rejoicing and you get an opportunity for freedom because you just respond by going, You know, people walk by and they're terrified. But we're rejoicing together.
That's right.
Weeping.
Yeah.
Weeping is a strong, powerful emotion. Chris and I, we were meeting this week. Got a ton of things going on, a lot going on, a lot of things we need to take care of. We're in my office. I get a call from my niece's husband. Swings by the house. He told us, I'm not having a good day. He just gotten confirmation that his body will forever be locked into what he's living with right now with no hope for change, with no hope for healing, apart from the healing hand of God. So I didn't go to my file, go through my pile, pick out a piece of paper, hand it to Chris, let him look it over. Here's all the things that you should say when somebody's brokenhearted and weeping. What do you think I did? I sat there next to him.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. I did what I'm doing now.
Yeah.
Because I didn't have any words. He was brokenhearted, and it was breaking my heart, just like it breaks my heart now. And Chris was there. Chris was feeling similar things, but we prayed over him. He left. Here's the thing. What you don't know is we were talking about the lesson today and what did these verses mean.
And then God's like, hey.
He said to us, what does this mean for you? To me? I just sat there and cried for part of the meeting because I love him.
Yeah.
I care about him. We're talking about being able to stand with people and be present.
Yeah.
And just simply share in what is going on with them. Rejoicing is a powerful emotion. Weeping is a powerful emotion. And if you see, they're almost like these extremes, and there's a lot in between that can be. But I want you to think about the mind and the heart preparation. Mm-hmm. It's all about making space.
Yeah.
For being with and serving other people.
Yeah. So one of the reasons. Oh, go ahead.
Yeah. No, go ahead.
One of the reasons why Romans 12 really captivated our hearts is that we're looking around at the life that all of us live, and we see this disconnect. Like, yeah. Why is it so difficult to follow Jesus?
Yeah.
Why is it so hard to put this into place? And so that's why we're stepping into these and we're walking through this verse by verse, because even this, rejoice and weep. It implies time.
Yeah, absolutely. Right?
Well, if you're too busy to be able to actually be present with somebody who is rejoicing, celebrating the fact that they finally got the job that they've been waiting for so many months, then you're not able to share in that. If you're too busy and you're not able to notice your neighbor across the street who's going through literal hell, and you're not able to just stop and just weep with them, then what's the point?
Yeah.
Who cares how much about the Bible you know if you're not allowing yourself to feel what God is placing in you and doing in them. And so, did you have something before we roll?
No, keep going, brother.
And so, so that's what we're doing, even on Wednesday nights, even with the teens, is we're trying to talk through various emotions and how do we yield them to God before they blow up, right? And so just this last week, we were talking about sadness and how we need to deal with that. That happens. We're sad. We need to weep. We need to be sad, feel that, right? But deal with it before it turns into shame.
Yeah.
Where this shame locks you down and you begin to notice and begin this lie and embrace it as truth.
Yeah.
That's what shame does to us. Right? And so I'm asking the teens, we're sitting out there by the fire pit. I'm asking them, man, if your friend is going through something like this, what do you do? How do you help them? And Kenley Ayler, right there, Kenley. Shout out.
Kenley, stand up.
Oh, man, I wasn't going to do all that.
No, I'm calling you out. Look at this. Look at this. I want you to understand. Okay? God is doing amazing things with the kids and the young people in this church family.
No.
Kenley, are you embarrassed? No, you're turning pink. That's why I was asking. I was just kind of curious. Okay? All right? But think about the power.
You can sit. It's okay. He'll probably make you stand, but you can sit.
Love you too. All right.
Right. But simply, do you even remember what you said? Yeah. Have empathy for him. I mean, show up and have empathy for him.
If you get nothing else from the lesson today between us,
she just
take what Kenley just said on Wednesday night. Yeah. Show up and have some empathy.
Again, why do we make it more difficult? I mean, that's what Marissa and I, my wife and I, we still wrestle with that too. When we know that somebody is going through something, we still have those conversations like, what are we going to say? And we feel those very same things. We have those same conversations like, oh, it's going to be awkward. I'm going to feel, what if they don't embrace me in? What if they don't even open the door? What if? And it's like, man, maybe Jesus is inviting us into that to feel humiliated on his behalf. Wouldn't that be worth it?
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
But then what if they open the door?
Yeah.
What if you're able to sit there and cry with them? What kind of healing could God provide for them, but then for me,
mm-hmm.
right? As Tim and I were there talking with his nephew, man, he and I had a conversation afterward, and we're like, did we do that right?
I don't know.
I don't know. But both of us felt like we were healed in some mm-hmm. different way because we were just there listening.
Yeah.
So it's really about just being present.
Yeah.
Are you too busy to allow the Spirit of God to deal with you and to be available to others? And so as we're talking about this, man, just how do we do this? What do we do? It requires, number one, that we're present with God.
Yeah.
That every single one of us, that we are present with God. Right? So if I am not available to what God's tapping on me and revealing in me and healing in me, then I can't be available for other people. Right? Tuesday, I don't know if you know, but Tim's he's a little busy. He's managing a lot. Right? And so Tim and I, Tuesday, we cram out stuff. We usually go to war. Right? So if I'm being selfish and I'm not yielding to the Spirit of God, I could be like, yo, Tim, tell him, too busy, man.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Or if I'm going to be, you know, a two-faced Christian like many of us like to be sometimes, I could be sitting in the room with him, but then just be rolling through. Man, when's he going to leave? Is he going to be done? I could be present with him, but not actually there mm-hmm. with him. Right? Or I can be able to, man, I've met him once or twice in my life, so I didn't necessarily know him. But because I'm learning how to yield myself to what God is doing in me and pulling out in me and teaching me, I have no idea what it feels like. I have no idea what to tell him. I've got no idea. He's dealing with stuff all over the place, not just his own physical stuff. But because I'm being aware with what God is healing in me,
yeah.
I can tap into that emotion of like, dude, I remember that time when Marissa and I were really feeling this weight and this mm-hmm. struggle.
Yep.
And so as we're praying, I'm weeping.
Yep.
I'm not faking this just so that I can obey this scripture, but it's because I'm being available. God, what are you teaching me? What are you doing to me? Oh man, I feel that now. Let me help you. Let's walk through this together.
And part of that is also what you have been pressing into and what you've been learning on an emotional level.
Oh, for sure.
As a man.
Yeah.
And so some of you, like we've been talking a lot about this, some of you, and we've referenced Jason Wilson, the interview with Lecrae, because we've been using that as an incredible launching point for conversations. Yeah. And I want to say this to you as men, the part of the disconnect within the average church with our men is this false narrative of manhood or this false presentation of what a quote unquote alpha male looks like.
Right.
And let me just tell you that the way that God has created us as men, emotions are not our weakness.
Right.
And emotions are actually the avenue for us to lead and love and be the men that God has called us to be. And what we have to learn to do is if we've got disparity and misunderstanding and damage there, then just like what David prayed, he said, search me, help me to understand my emotional package so that I can experience healing.
Right.
So that then in turn, that's the very reservoir that we're able to love on and connect with other people.
Yeah.
That's why Jason Wilson uses the term emotional incarceration.
Yeah, that's better than the term I was using. So
no, that's cool. That's but we could relate to the other one.
Yeah. All right. Yeah. I admitted to the fact that I'm emotionally constipated. Okay. So emotionally incarcerated is a little better.
And then he said that he has two people in his life that are like laxatives.
That's right. They're flushing me out, man. Making me regular.
We're not going to say who they are, but you're looking at one of them.
And my wife is the other, so
okay,
that's good, right?
I'm in good company.
That's right.
Okay, good.
Right, and so But what are we, why does this matter? Right? If we're incarcerated, if we have no idea how to deal with it, if we're just constipated, I'm not sure what even I'm feeling,
yep,
then I can't be able to associate with you and you share what's going on.
Yep.
And so it's all of this, like God actually wants to heal you and not just have you suppress.
Yep.
You feel like you're being a man because you're suppressing. You're not being a man. You're being a young man.
Mm-hmm. That was good.
Because, hey, there's middle, I was going to say middle school boy.
That was a good control.
There's middle schoolers that are more emotionally intelligent than me. So I'm not putting them down.
Yeah, no, I'm
putting them down. Yeah. Right? So you got to be aware of what God is doing with you. So allow God to be present in your life. But then, man, what does rejoicing and weeping with others imply? It means that we need to be present with others as well.
Yeah.
Right? Absolutely. So as I'm present, I'm allowing God to be present with me, then I'm going out and I'm not just staying to myself. I'm not just ignoring those promptings from the Holy Spirit, but I'm being present with others. Being able to notice, man, when somebody's going through something hard, I'm not going to allow that what if to hold me back anymore.
Yeah.
But man, I'm going to be present. I'm going to be with Tim. I'm going to be with Chris. Where's Chris? Callan. I'm going to be with Chris. We're having lunch this week, so make it happen, Captain. All right? I'm going to be present with other people. Why? So we can help each other, right? So that we can rejoice together. We can weep together. We can be frustrated together.
Yep.
We can deal with frustrations. We can do whatever together because we need to be present together. But then those other thing, we're present with God, we're present with other people, but then this is where we really need to, this is where the Spirit needs to release us here at Mountain View.
Absolutely.
We need to allow people to be present with us.
Yep. And that's the hardest part for this beautiful congregation.
Oh, yeah.
It's hard.
Oh, you guys are so quick to act,
mm-hmm,
but we're not very good to receive.
Amazing response. Let me know how I can help. But then if you're not allowing that to be the other way, you're like a Philadelphia, a New York City street. You know what I mean by that? One way. So what we've got to do is take what Chris is talking about. And not only are we trying to be able to just be present, but some of you, you won't let other people be present for you.
Right.
And it's reciprocal.
Yeah.
And all that we're talking about this morning, the power of emotions, it's the very emotional reservoir that I live with that allows me to connect with so many of you. I had breakfast with somebody this week, and I'm talking to him. And I could tell from the time I got out of the truck, this person was not their normal self.
Mm. Why could you notice that?
Because of emotional health that I'm trying to live in. And so then, as I'm asking, how are you doing? I'm fine. What's going on? No, I'm fine. And then, so then the next answer was a business response, business challenges. And it was only because I was trying to be present and I could tell from an emotional presentation that things weren't fine. And then finally, there was that level of honesty, like, this is weighing heavy on my heart.
Yeah.
And I didn't go through a Bible study.
Right.
I mean, at that point, there was a connectivity. There was a level of understanding.
Right.
Just to say, I care about you. I'm on your team. I'm going to pray for you.
Because it's reciprocal. So you are a huge blessing to me and you're pouring into me. But there's times where I need to believe the fact that God has placed me in Tim's life as well. And so there are times when I'm pouring back into him and you're pouring into people around you. You're pouring back into me. We need each other to function as a family.
And right? Some of you know that I'm such an easy person to help. It's okay. You can laugh now. Okay.
No, but there's times where you're worked up. You're feeling something.
Absolutely.
And I'm able to. No, it's all right. Say what you need to say. That's okay. Yep. We'll walk through it.
And that's ugly sometimes. But do you get what we're saying? We have to learn to just show up and be present for each other.
Right.
So Galatians chapter 6, verse 2.
Galatians 6:2, right? What does this challenge us to do? It tells us to bear one another's burdens, right? Bear one another's burdens, right? And this is, goes on to say, and so fulfill the law of Christ, which we don't have time to go into all that.
Some of you have a misunderstanding of what bearing one another's burdens are. So, because this is what you say to us.
That's right.
I don't want to share with you because I don't want to bring you down. Like, this is not like trying to stand next to an inebriated person who wants to fall down. That's right. Not what this is talking about.
You're a little
bit
heavier than Gideon, too.
Can I jump in your arms? No. And so what this concept is just standing next to one another, helping one another. And it might be that I'm just standing with him, and then it might be that the next day he's standing with me. Yeah. But it's not that you're placing extra pressure on somebody. Yeah. That we're just standing together. We're helping one another with the load.
Absolutely.
We're just being present. So why? Can we ask you some honest questions? Why is it that this is so hard? Now, we talked about it last week. The persecution, it's a process of extending love past natural human boundaries. So let's talk honestly this morning. What keeps us from making the choice to be present with others? Now, the first three, we don't have answers. We're not going to give you. You have to participate. So we're going to give you three words. I want to hear what that means to you. What is it that keeps us from making the choice to be present with others? We believe distraction is a big reason. What does that mean for you? How do you interpret distractions? What are distractions for you? This is a point where I ask a question. We're not going to talk. You answer.
Internet.
Distractions. What are distractions? What do distractions mean to you? Work?
Work.
Yeah, seriously. Work's a big one. Busy, busy. Business,
yeah.
Just being busy. What else? What are some other distractions? Whoa, that went deep.
Prioritizing correctly.
Yeah, that's true, though. What else?
Being selfish.
Being selfish.
She said that. I didn't say it.
No, nobody's mentioned this yet. Okay, we won't go there. Yeah, anxiety and fear. That's real. Absolutely. Okay, let's keep going. You're doing great. Okay, if we say disbelief, what does that mean to you? Disbelief. What keeps us from being present with other people? Disbelief. What does that mean? Don't know what to say.
Yeah.
What?
Not good enough.
Not good enough.
Yeah.
Thank you. Let's keep it going. Disbelief.
Yeah, worried about what they're going to think about you.
Absolutely. But part of the disbelief that we want to remind you of is that a lot of you sitting here don't really believe that you are who God says you are and that he wants to use you in other people's lives. We don't believe that.
Yeah.
It's somebody else's job. Somebody else is going to do that. Third word, discouragement. What does that mean to you? If one of the reasons why we don't be present, we don't just make ourselves present, is discouragement, what do we mean by that?
Afraid of failing.
What discourages you? Fear of failure? What do I have to offer? Absolutely. Not knowing what to say.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely. A lot of us get discouraged by our past. I'm not the person to be present because of...
Yep.
So our fourth thing, and we're just going to say this one, downright scared of rejection and embarrassment. We're just talking about, we're not asking anybody to have this flowery set of words. We're just talking about showing up and being present, and we don't do that because we're just downright terrified of being embarrassed or being rejected. Now, I want to say this, and I hope you'll understand. If you're using this as a way out to not show up or to not be present, then don't use these two phrases. Hey, what can I do? Or what's another one we say? If you need anything, then please get back to me and let me know. Now, can I go on the record saying I say these two phrases every week all the time? But you know why I say these things? Because I am showing up. We are showing up. We are trying to be present. I don't have enough time in the day to show up everywhere and be present on the level that I feel like that I need to. So there's people that when I say that, I've spent time with them. So they know when I say, if you need something, please let me know. They know that I'm going to back that up with follow through. Mm-hmm. I'm not trying to use it as a phrase to get out of jail or to appease my mind.
Right.
You understand what I'm saying? And some of you, we're just going to address the elephant in the room. Chris and I are standing up here, so we're going to deal with the elephant in the room. Some of you might be sitting there thinking to yourself, well, that's what we pay you two to do for us. You're not even going to flex because you know you're thinking it. So let me just go ahead and respond out loud to your inward thought process. Mm. And let me just say this to you. I was showing up and spending time with people for years and years and years and years before I was ever given this responsibility. Before God said, Tim, this is what I want you to do, I was living out what we're asking you to do. Mm-hmm. Showing up and being present. For many of us, this is what we need to do. We need to reimagine what love and service and ministry is really all about.
Yeah.
James 1:19. Understand this, my dear brothers and sisters. You must all be quick to listen. Grandparents, you say, that's why you got two ears. Still works. Slow to speak and slow to get angry. A lot of you, you've believed the lie.
Yeah.
You think that serving and ministering and touching somebody's life is about words and information. Now you may not come out and say that, but that's what we hear you saying. I don't know enough of the Bible. Yeah. I don't memorize enough scripture. I don't know.
Yeah.
But if you believe in Jesus, you have a story.
Yeah.
And can I tell you something? Only a misunderstanding people argues with your story because it's your story.
Yeah.
And if you have a story and you show up and you're being present with someone and you share in whatever emotion that they are sharing with, you know what that says? You care.
Yeah.
And Chris and I, we remind ourselves of this phrase that we want to leave you with this morning because this is what we have to get back to as a church.
Yeah.
People don't care how much you know until they know how much you care. Do you understand that we've made the Church of Jesus Christ in America this knowledge-based, information-driven, words, adornment approach? And we need to get back to making it about letting people know how much you care. And you know what? I can tell you countless times where I've shown up to the side of people. I show up in a hospital. Somebody's on their last days dying in cancer. And I know, I mean, I want miraculous things. You know what I do? I show up and I'm there. Yeah. And if they've got Jell-O on their tray and they can't feed themselves, you know what I've done before? I open the Jell-O and I put a spoon in it and I feed them the Jell-O until they're done or until it's empty. I don't have to say anything. I'm just present with them.
Yeah.
People don't care how much we know until they know how much we care. Our desire is that some of you would be, well, I'm going to be honest, everyone.
Yeah, oh yeah.
Yeah, I stopped myself. Can you imagine what would happen if just the people, look around at the number of people in this room and people that are listening right now. Can you imagine if this week, every single one of you went and stood next to somebody or you were present in somebody's life that you already know you were supposed to be there and just like the shepherds, never did. But praise God you did.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. What an example for all of us.
Yeah.
To just be present.
Yeah.
Can you imagine what the Holy Spirit would do across these counties in this region if just the people here this morning said, I'm going to show up and I'm going to be present and I'm going to just be there.
Yeah. Absolutely. And how many of you are carrying something that you're just holding inside of yourself? And you know that you need to share. You know that you want healing, but you don't know how. Man, this is the avenue. And we're not trying to be these people that know all this stuff so that we can look all good on the outside. We want genuine faith. We want to experience Jesus.
Absolutely.
And when we begin to walk in his ways, we experience his power.
Yeah, absolutely.
And so that's what we want. So, man, if there's something that you just need to weep over, but you've been cramming inside, then, man, grab somebody. Come forward.
Let it out.
Let somebody weep alongside you so you can experience the healing hand of God. There's something that you feel like you don't even know how to be able to rejoice for because you feel selfish. Man, find somebody and be like, man, I've been holding this in, but can you believe this is how God worked?
Mm-hmm.
Man, when you share the way that God works, what does that do for the rest of the family of God?
Yeah.
It helps us be able to have faith that, man, God can do that for me. God can still do that for all of us.
And do you hear what he's saying? It creates the very connection that some of you have been longing for years.
Yeah.
You want somebody else to provide for you what you're not willing to participate in.
Yeah.
It's a two-way street. Let's be the kind of church family where we are open and available and vulnerable to allow reciprocally to rejoice, to weep, and everything in between and on the other side. Think about these things as we stand and worship together.